I'm up earlier than normal, so that means I'm either going to be long-winded or we'll be going home early. Something like that. Praise God. How's everybody doing? Amen. And whatever you're here, whatever your need is this morning, I trust that the Lord has touched you and met your need, or it's in the mail. Your answer is in the mail. You know, sometimes you got to pray more than once for your answer. Sometimes you got to pray twice or three times or five times. And for Elijah, he told a servant when he was praying for rain, go look and see if you can find a cloud. Come back. Nope, no cloud. He had to go seven times, I think it was. And then he said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he said, you better take cover. Rain's coming. Hallelujah. And so this morning I want to talk about one of the star players in the Old Covenant. And we know all about him. His name is Moses. I think he's one of the leading characters in the Old Covenant. And but first I want to read a verse to us from Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. And this was a prophetic word given by Hanani. And it was given to Asa, king, and he was king of Israel at the time. And the Lord gave him this word because he trusted in the king of Syria to help him at war instead of putting his trust in the Lord. But in this statement, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him, the Lord is making a statement. And the statement is that he needs men and women, hallelujah, to work through. He needs men and women, hallelujah, and to exert his power and his will into the earth. Amen. He needs servants that are willing to do that. And that's where we come in. Hallelujah. We're his servants, aren't we? And so God is declaring his need for men and women that will give themselves to him, and that he can exert his will and his power into circumstances, into lives, and into your world. Hallelujah. One thing I love about the Lord is that he picks some very unlikely candidates to represent him. And, you know, I can think of one right now, and her name is Rahab. And she was a prostitute that lived in Jericho. And we think, wow, how could the Lord use her? And she became a relative of Jesus. Amen. And you know why we think, how could the Lord use her? We think that way because we think we're a better sinner than she was. I'm a better sinner than that. But the truth is, we're all sinners. And so when we look at things that way, I have to remind myself where I came from. Praise God. I was delivered by the hand of Jesus. So the Lord's calling ordinary people today. Do you feel ordinary? God calls ordinary people to serve a supernatural God. And if you can do miracles, come up here and do a couple for us. And we'll razzle and dazzle everybody before you go home. Or if you're just ordinary, don't feel bad about it. Because that's what we are. We're ordinary. And I would have loved it if the Lord said, get up there and do a miracle. That would have been awesome. But you know, God calls ordinary people and to serve a supernatural God. And so what he's doing is he's calling earth's zeros to become heaven's heroes. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is submit to what God wants to do in our life. Hallelujah. And that's probably easier said than done. And, you know, we said that, you know, with Rahab, We wonder why God would use someone like that, because we think we're better sinners than she is. And you know, sinner is a stalker. Sin is a stalker that stalks us, and it has one desire, to kill us. And that's what happens when sin is full grown. Hallelujah. And so we watch out for this stalker, and we know that God chooses ordinary people. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a certain high degree of education, or you got to look pretty. If you had to look pretty, I wouldn't make the cut. Have you tried out for God's team? Amen. You know, the playoffs are going on these days, and our beloved Leafs are doing what they normally do. Lose. But when you try out for God's team, hallelujah, you know, what'll I call it? Yeah, when you try out for God's team, we find ourselves falling short, because we're just men and women. I tell the Lord that often. Lord, I'll play my man part this morning, but you got to play your God part. Amen. And he does, and he comes shows himself to us in different ways. But for every Christian, there's got to be a time and a place where God's life has intersected ours. Amen. And they all shouted, yes, amen, brother. We're not dead out here. Hello. Anybody out there? And so, the Lord has to intersect our life in some way, in some form. And he wakes us up from the dead. Really, we've been made alive. Hallelujah. And that's why we're here this morning, because the Lord has intersected our life in some way. And we're thankful for that. And I want to look at that this morning, and how the Lord intersected Moses' life in chapter 3 of Exodus. Amen. Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian, and he led the flocks to the backside of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, angel with a capital A, appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, and the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Praise God. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he looked, and God called to him from the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So this is the day, the burning bush, where the Lord had intersected Moses' life. And you know, don't we need a visitation today? Personally, in each life, and in our churches today, how we need a visitation from God. Hallelujah. And I thank God for everything we have, and he's given us quite a bit of himself. But we want it all. Praise God. And so we see that the Lord has intersected in Moses' life. Do you suppose the Lord went down to the unemployment office and got a bunch of resumes, and he was looking them over to see who could take care of this job? Let's see Moses' resume. Yeah. You see, he ran into some trouble. I see Moses that you tried to open up a door to deliver the children of Israel, and you ended up killing an Egyptian. Moses tried to open up a door. You ever tried to open up a door? Sometimes when I'm looking for the will of God, I rattle all kinds of door handles. But it's better to wait. Better to wait for God to open up the door. And Moses had gotten ahead of the Lord in his early days as prince. And he ended up killing an Egyptian and happened to run for his life. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. It says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. and no one can shut it. For you have done, you have a little strength and have kept my word and not denied me. And so we see the Lord had opened up a door for the church at Philadelphia. Again, in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul talking here. And the point I'm trying to get across, Moses messed up trying to open up a door, and these were doors that were opened before Paul and before the church of Philadelphia, and it's because Jesus is our doorkeeper. Amen? Jesus is in control of the doors in our life that open and that close, and how impatient we can get waiting for a door to open, praying for this door to open, and when things don't happen, we can get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Keep praying. And I know a lot of young folks, they pray, praying, Lord, open up a door. Bring my Prince Charming. And I'm looking for Prince Charming to come along, or I'm looking for my princess. And if you wait for the Lord to open that door, it'll save you from kissing a lot of frogs along the way. Amen? Amen. And so our